Cape Talk. A worldview from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist. I hope you are well. The major geopolitical news and news that could affect South Africa in the next few months' time when we have the BRICS summit being hosted by South Africa. BRICS, of course, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Vladimir Putin. There is a reaction worldwide on his now international arrest warrant issued by the International Criminal Court for Justice. How South Africa will respond to that when he is scheduled to visit South Africa in August.
Yes, it's a sort of arrest on site kind of edict, isn't it, really? And so therefore, if he were to pitch up at a South African airport, then he absolutely could be arrested. I don't think he can be arrested in midair, but there might be a refueling point as well. Are there direct flights, for instance, Moscow to Cape Town or Joburg? Interesting, isn't it, that one? But he's already done the thing, of course, of a positive PR step, because, I mean, most dictatorial leaders are good at this. In fact, most leaders are good at this, whereby you get an awful lot of nonsense on one side and you deflect it by doing something else. So his trip to Mariupol over the weekend, and indeed also to Crimea over the weekend, visiting art centers and children's facilities and so forth, is clearly meant to deflect the idea that he is a child kidnapper. I mean, that's the sort of war crime allegation, isn't it? The enforced deportation of children from Ukraine to Russia under his watch. Volodymyr Zelensky called the decision to issue an arrest warrant an historic decision that will lead to historic responsibility. Well, I don't think we should hold our breath anytime soon. He will stand trial. But I like the certain irony in this, in that this edict issued by the International Criminal Court, of course, it can't reach into Russia. So Vladimir Putin is safe in Russia. He also, by the way, would be safe in America, which also doesn't recognize the International Criminal Court. So Vladimir Putin could pitch up in Washington for talks, albeit they'll probably have their own beef with it.
Vladimir Putin could pitch up in the United Nations General Assembly in September in Manhattan. And because the U.S. is not a signatory to the Rome Statute, they cannot implement that ICC arrest warrant. South Africa, of course, does not have a sterling record when it comes to wanted persons on the IEC's list. We think of Omar al-Bashir, the former Sudanese leader who was in the country, and the South African government did nothing. And then let's move on to Ireland and Irishman's justice struggle, the extradition case of Rory McGrath.
Yeah, this is the story that this guy, by no means a celebrity or famous or anything, but he was involved in a pub brawl in Leeds in Northern England in 1980. During that pub brawl, a police officer got beaten up, not by him, he says, or his mates. They were busy beating up a rival gang and vice versa. Anyway, sensing an anti-Irish feeling in Britain, and there almost certainly was where he was in 1980, we're talking height of the IRA, etc., etc., Rory McGrath was charged with assault by the police. He decided that rather than hang around and see what happened, he would flee to Ireland, and off he went. Yeah. Life moved on. He then ended up in New York. He got married, had children, the years zipped by. He visited the UK for weddings and so forth, and never considered himself a fugitive. To some extent in his mind, as the decades went by, he thought, well, that was that. That was in my youth. That's all gone. Suddenly, 41 years later, US Marshals came calling at his home in New York State, and he was ultimately extradited after a lot of jiggery-pokery. He was extradited to the UK to stand trial for the alleged assault of a police officer. 43 years, therefore, after the original incident, he has been found not guilty. He says it's all had a devastating impact on his wife and sons. It's been an enormous amount of time and money of the taxpayers spent on getting this man to trial, and an enormous waste of this man's life, ultimately, getting him to trial because he's been found innocent. The long arm of the law and no statute of limitations leads to the lengthy and expensive pursuit of an innocent man, it seems. You just wonder how this was all born in the first place in the murky early 1980s.
And then finally, the heatwave fish. It's the smelly side effect of the heat-eating Australia.
Yeah, the impact of extreme heat and drought on a river in Australia. They've just begun the clear up. I was just looking at that a couple of minutes ago, that they basically are clearing up the Darling Bucca River in very rural New South Wales. So think of a map of Australia, it's almost in the middle. Anyway, this place has become awash with dead fish. Aerial photos show the river covered in a silver layer. And you, at first glance, you think, okay, that's kind of pretty, but what is that? Is that some sort of foam? And then as you get closer, you realize they are the bodies of millions of dead fish, simply starved of oxygen in the river. As one local resident put it, 30 kilometers of dead fish, continual 40 plus degrees of heat, lower river levels, more water has been taken out for agriculture, starve the fish. The smell is apparently horrendous. As one guy put it, Graham McGrab, who lives in that part of New South Wales, you can imagine leaving a fish in your kitchen to rot with all the doors shut and no air conditioner. Now multiply that by several million. I know. Early, isn't it?
Rather not, mate. Rather not. But Adam Gilchrist, looking forward to chatting you tomorrow with The Worldview. Stay well.